to the book of Judges in the 14th chapter and our precious brother Samson and how good the Lord and just rich in mercy, thanking Jesus again for his great love as he shows forth even again in our unbelief and unfaithfulness, he abides faithful, praise his name. But in the 14th chapter, in verse 5, we'll begin reading. It says, "Then went Samson down, and his father and his mother, to Timnath. And they came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand. But he told not his father and his mother what he had done. And he went down and he talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating, and came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion." Now, the Lord's encouraged me to speak on just one of the many, 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 many testimonies that are in this just precious little portion of Scripture, and how amazing this portion of Scripture is. But specifically tonight, this honey, and how this honey represents the time when God promised Israel the promised land. And that promised land called Canaan, and as we sing that precious song, a land flowing with milk and honey. And yet even though, as we see this honey in the lion's carcass, it's so sweet, and then you know the divine sweetness of the Lord and how he does it, we also see that this honey was found, can you imagine, in a dead and stinky carcass. Isn't that something? And think of this, not just any carcass, but in the carcass of a lion. And not just any lion, but the lion that was specifically out to destroy Samson and his family as they were traveling. Now, this lion can be seen as a type in the promised land. As it was reported, there were giants in the land. There were enemies in that promised land. But faith, you think, that faith and the faithfulness of God, the love of God, encouraged Joshua and especially Caleb. When they came back, they said, oh my, what a beautiful land. What a beautiful promise. God's given it to us, and we're well able. And we don't need to delay it all. Let's take it right now. Because God had given it. Amen? Even though the reports came back from the others that were just terrified, because they were terrified because they looked at the giants instead of the promise. And isn't that the scriptures in our life? It really is the same thing over and over and over all the time. Do we see the trial or do we see the promise? Do you see the problem or do you see the promise? Do you see the tragedy or do you see the promise? Do you see the scriptures? The scriptures are the promises of God, and those promises are yea and amen. And we know that the promises as a whole for all of the word of God is that he withholds nothing good from our lives. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. So, by faith, Joshua and Caleb had the right attitude to go in. But these Philistines at this time in Judges were part of those enemies. But as it was noted in the scripture, God sought an occasion against them with Samson. Isn't that wonderful? It was an occasion. I think, you know, it's a special occasion with the Lord. You got some enemies? It's a special occasion. Did you know that? And that's something, you know, how God calls these things. You think that an enemy is an occasion? Oh, yes, it's a very special occasion. It's a celebration because we're going to be able to stand back and see the mighty hand of God. Amen. And I just love it because, again, you think about Samson and his life. They couldn't figure out where his strength lied. You know, he wasn't a muscular feller in any way, shape, or form. And here he was, you know, running around with a gate that weighed many tons. And just running with it. Isn't that funny? Just ripped it off. And as it said here about this lion, okay, well, the Spirit of the Lord come upon me. I'm just going to take that. Just like a little teeny baby goat. It'd be an awful picture. But he did that with this lion. He just tore it up. There was nothing in his hand. But he taught his hands to war. Amen? See? And that's how God does it in our lives. And boy, we really need to learn to trust Jesus, don't we? But see, there were foes in the land of promise that had been given to Israel. See, and that, again, is so true with our lives. As the Lord has given us these scriptures, there's always going to be the foe of unbelief that's sitting right there that's going to challenge us to not believe the scripture. And what is that foe? What really is that unbelief? It's my flesh. It's the sin that is in my flesh. It's my sight. It's my feeling. It's my experience. It's my ears listening to what other people tell me. And you think of the day and the age we live in, you think of, again, what we're bombarded with. Multiple sources. And you talk about, you know, whether it's, you know, they always talk about the media, this and that. We know it's spiritual wickedness in high places. We know it's the rulers of the darkness. We get this. We believe the Lord. But the Lord help us to hone in, as Joshua and Caleb so sweetly honed in. They honed in on the promise. They didn't even mention the giants. Isn't that something? All those other fellows, all they could see were the giants, the problem. But yet here were the two nuts. Well, weren't you with us? Not really. We were just taking a walk with God. We saw it from a whole different vantage point. We saw it from the heavenlies. That's why we see in the heavenlies. It's not someday getting there. I am already provisionally seated there in the heavens with Christ right now. So we thank God that, see, God's promises have never changed. And what we're seeing here is God's promises are always found in the things that are not appealing to the eyes. God's promises are always found in the things that do not make sense to our minds, often are not pleasant, but that is the way God always brings forth the honey. It's through the stinky carcass. Amen? Think about how God's brought that through your life and my life. Going over to Isaiah chapter 61. I have a couple saints that send me such precious remembrances on this often because they're just rejoicing in this and how precious the Lord is. In Isaiah 61, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." Praise God. See, what he's telling us there is it is the way out of the no way. He's always going to give us the way of life out of death. Romans 7:6 tells us that we should serve and walk in the newness of life since now we are delivered out of the death of the old man. Isn't that something? See, God has delivered us, hasn't he? Completely. And we're so thankful that we have this newness of life. And God help us to be encouraged to walk in it. And to not, as the sweet brother Paul had encouraged us, don't think these fiery trials as strange things that have come upon us. We really need to pray one for another, don't we? See, Job found this so true, maybe like no other person. It was only in complete destruction. Only in complete destruction was he enabled to receive the double portion. It was, wasn't it? It was when everything was taken, when every dream was shattered, that the words which he had heard for all those years became what he says, now mine eyes seeth thee. Well, that's my life. Isn't it your life? Amen. Isn't that wonderful? And it's that way over and over again, because there's such a pouring forth of this increase in this day and age we live, that God takes us through these trials. And we're in the time of manifold blessing. And we are in the time of manifold temptation, as it says there in James. And he said, oh, count it all joy when you're about manifold temptation, these trials. Because why? Because if we're believing God, there's going to be manifold victory. Because you are not set to fail. You're set, praise be to God, in Christ Jesus, more than a conqueror through him that loved us. So as we hit these trials, by the grace of God, may we know that, Lord, we've already been given that victory of more than a conqueror through Christ and in Christ. Praise God. So we see that Job took this victory. Now, in our lives, brothers and sisters, and we do, we can sit around here and we can sing some pretty songs. And we can say, oh, I want the honey. Honey, honey, honey. Give me honey. But do we really understand where the honey comes from? And more importantly, once we know it, do we really want it with the cost that is involved to receive it? Mentioned it this morning, brothers and sisters. Are we truly sincere in our proclaiming that we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ? It's hit me in such a deeper way. It's not just to profess it in a ridiculed by ones in professing the gospel of Christ. I'm talking about the effectual working of the gospel of Christ in your life and the cost and the things that God divinely wills in your life. You know, I was thinking about Joseph and again how he was taken and he was put in situations, and especially like that situation with that woman he worked for, and she went after him and after him and after him, but he continued to say no, no, no. Well, after there were so many no, 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 she said, well, I'm just going to set you up and you're going to go to prison. That embarrassment, was he still not ashamed of the gospel of Christ? You understand this? Come on now. When you suffer for Christ's sake, and he puts us in these places and that truly man would call embarrassing, things that would be unpleasant, things that would not seem to testify in our lives of godly things. But yet God knows. And in man's eyes, like I said, I've just been reading a lot about David and in some of them Psalms. And as he says about his foes that have just been watching and waiting for him to mess up. And they would say, aha, aha. Isn't that something? It gets right down to the base. They're just like just ugly children. Aha, aha. Yeah. But God gave them over to David. Even his familiar friend that became his enemy. That was the most hurtful. But he said, God delivered me out of them all. Praise his name. So we can have that absolute rest and assurance that he will deliver us. Hallelujah. But brothers and sisters, when the gospel of Christ truly works in us, are we not ashamed to the point of the working of it that it must do to strip us of ourselves? Are we really not ashamed of the gospel of Christ that has to cut away all the dross? Again, not just what others see, but I'm talking about what we know before God about us. Huh? That's just between us and the Lord alone. That's a beautiful time. It really is. And again, it's something I can't do. It's not of my power, my might. It's got to be by His Spirit. It has to be by that Spirit power. It has to be by the love. Love is what delivers. Love delivered us all along, hasn't it? That's the grace of God, the great grace of God. It's love. For God so loved the world. That's what delivered us, was God's love. He gave His Son. And his son so loved that he bled, he died, he became sin for us who knew no sin because he loved. Amen? So in receiving that love, it's the love of God that changes us. It's the love of God that captivates. You know, he talks about that helmet of salvation. That helmet is love. That absolute love of God just completely occupy my heart, my mind. I think about how the Lord, again, in our natural lives, as we become in love with our natural first love, we forget about all of the other possible loves there could have ever been. Or even the friends, the things of that nature. You just want to be with that first love. You have captivating thoughts about that first love. And that can't even be compared to the transformation of what the Spirit, it's the Spirit that does it in our lives. But I am realizing, and I can testify of my own life, is that in that trial, in that really brokenness that God will bring us into, see, he'll work this to make this. You can't line him up. You can't figure God out. He took a trial that I thought was working this, and there was something in me that he was working on. And something so unconnected to that. He said, oh, honey, I've got to finish you. Now, there's many things in that trial. Like I said, there's facets for many folks in that. I believe in my trial there were things for you. Just like in your trial, there's things for me. His body's a beautiful thing, isn't it? In his simplicity, we're getting into, yea, the deep things. It's just amazing. But again, it's just him. That's the deep thing, him. But do we really want all of that dross cut away? You know, we can play around like I'm godly. I can tell people, maybe even in a very subtle way, about how godly I am. But you don't fool God. It's very, very evident to who we're trying to magnify. Amen? See, let's just get to the point where, Lord, all I want to do is lay prostrate on the ground. And really, you're going to find me laying down here someday because I feel like it. You know, you just, exactly. It's beyond small. You just become transparent. But it's just such a beautiful thing to be. And he, praise God. But you know that working's from the inside. But well, I'll tell you, he can really do a work from the inside out. But you see, when all of that goes away, there's only one thing left, and that's how he builds us up, and that's the word of his grace. Because it was grace that gave us the encouragement to humble ourselves before God. It was grace that caused us to see the beauty of humility before our Lord. Amen? See, that's the grace of God. It wasn't something that I stumbled upon. It's what he wants and what he works. But see, do we really want that much fruit for God? That's the thing. Do we want that much fruit brought forth in us for God? See, we know John 15:2. He says, every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. More fruit. Driving through Minnesota again, and God willing, the last time. But I leave that to God. But I remember that beautiful apple orchard I told you about. And what God showed me in all these years and so many things, so beautiful. But seeing those trees this past, kind of late fall, just so abundant with fruit. I mean, again, small trees. But I'm telling you, literally thousands of large apple on small trees. Bending to an amount that you would think that they were going to break. But I was thinking, you know, God, but you sustain us. We think we're going to break. There's so much fruit coming forth. And you know what I'm talking about. When you're in the trial and yet you know the faithfulness of God is holding you, you're still there going, Lord, we could break at any moment. You know, there's clusters hanging off of here. Can you pick them? Well, he's going to prune. And then here we were driving back through there. And to think, as you looked through there, it did. It looked like, what was that? One of them movies where you look back through those dead trees. And you're just in awe to think, they look so dead, but yet there's life in them trees. And it's coming forth. Sometimes we feel like that, don't we? It says, oh, Lord, there's just nothing here. But, oh, you're going to work. Praise the Lord. I remember when Brother Hill came up when we first moved in over here at 1630 South Fillmore. And there are those wonderful, beautiful grapevines that were on the fences. And just abundant in fruit. And we picked all of them grapes that first time. I said, oh, well, let me show you how you do this. He cut them things so far back, Polly was crying. He said, I came home that day. He killed them. Look at what he did. And I mean, they were all over the fence. And he came back, and they were like a little dead shrub, like this. Oh, don't worry. Let her cry. You know how he would do like that. It was kind of funny. And I'll tell you what, they came back more abundant every single year. And if you didn't cut them, they wouldn't come back. And if they would come back, you'd get them little teeny like stunted grapes. Got to be cut. But for the word to work effectually, and you know that word effectually means Holy Ghost super powerfully working in us, as we were encouraged today in the message, there must be trials. And not just any type of trials. We're talking about heavy trial, deep trial, fiery trial, where only the Holy Ghost supernatural power can raise us up. It can't be anything of ourselves. It's not, oh, it's going to be better tomorrow. I'm talking about the trial, brothers and sisters, where we're so whipped, we are so pressed out of measure, we are so despairing of our life, the time in life where it is such utter loss, the time in life we think, well, the death knell has sounded. But instead of rolling over, we arise and we live in the newness of life. And only the Holy Ghost can do that. And only the love of Jesus that comes in like a flood can have me to say, but God. You ever laid there and you're just so hurt? In a trial that made your body feel beyond flu. But you just said, but God. Huh? I'm sure there's many of us tonight that truly need to, in Jesus' name, but God. Amen? But God. I need to be encouraged tonight again, but God. So he takes me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, here's what but God tells me in verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Boy, we sure can get in a lot of drama and think, well, mine is so unique. But mine is so special to me. And it is. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Now, go on over to 1 Peter chapter 5. And let's continue on with the rest of the story. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Actually, let's go back to verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, there's that lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. That's how you resist him, by faith. Amen. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord. See, that's the honey. And every time that enemy comes at you as a roaring lion, and every time by faith we believe God, he's just a dead carcass full of honey. Amen? Praise the Lord. I know he's out to steal and to kill and to destroy. It's all he can do. It's all he wants to do. But that is exactly what God in his perfect plan has him to do. So that by the grace of God, by faith, when we are tried in what pleases God, more than precious gold tried in the fire, there's the honey. See, that's the honey, brothers and sisters. That's the suffering together with Christ Jesus. The sweet spot mark for the prize honey that prepares us to reign with him forever. See, we're in that time and we're studying in John. That's exactly the time of the cross. You think of the lion roaring. You think of all of that time of demonic forces, everything set there. But oh, the greatest pot of honey that there's ever been. Amen? I'm going to bruise my heel on you, Satan. But death swallowed up in victory. And why would that not be the same in Christ in you, the hope of glory? Amen? See, that's our suffering together with him. But again, all in the victory that's already been won. But see, that's the preparing to reign with him forever. The glory of enlightened eyes to know. The glory of the enlightened eyes that there's nothing that can compare with the glory. There's nothing that can compare with the eternal weight of glory. That there is nothing that can compare with the exceeding great reward. That there is nothing that can compare with I have won him. As it says in Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 10. Oh, this is a good one. I am a wall, and my breasts like towers. Then was I in his eyes as one that found favor. I believe he's growing us up, brothers and sisters. I believe we're finally realizing, because of his great love, how beautiful we are to him. How magnificent it is to take the grace of God and to fully ravish the one we adore. Amen? Because his grace through faith, through the deep trials, has completed us for him, established us, strengthened, and settled me for him to come for his love, his fair one, and carry me away. Praise God. That's it. And that's where it's going to be found. And those times, and matter of fact, I can even say with assurance, this time that we're in of the lions that are about to devour. Don't think it strange. And as God takes you to retrieve the honey, know that it's going to be in places that we never would have thought, we never would have wanted, we never would have sought after. But God. But God. You know? And you even think of this as we part tonight. You know, Samson was not walking with God as he was walking that way. He wasn't, was he? Matter of fact, his parents were already just been, oh, isn't there a woman from God's people that you want? Don't we have one here? Oh, I want this one. But see, God in his faithfulness, amen. God had a plan. God had a plan, do you think, for even his mom and dad? And Samson got to eat that, but you know, there's a lot of things speaking out in that. It's our families, our children. Know how much the Lord loves you. And sometimes we're eating and partaking of things and we see such the goodness of God. But yet at the same time, Lord, I want to be fully aware and fully appreciating the honey you give me to eat. I don't want to just eat it and not be as thankful as I should. Amen? He's very good to us, isn't he? Praise the Lord. He loves you. God, help us truly to rise up and to lift our faces to him and just to praise him and look fully into his wonderful face. I just really do. Lord, increase the thankfulness. I don't want to say I'm not thankful enough. I'm trusting God to be thankful enough. I just want more thankfulness. I want an increased vessel to praise him more. I want an increased vessel to know him more. Because there's nothing else to know. Praise the Lord. Let's stand and be dismissed.